The relationship between telecommunication and social unrest in response to an epidemic should be no stranger to us. Rumors about the nefarious intentions of doctors and government officials have spread like wildfire in our own lives during the COVID-19 pandemic, but they also spread across the Russian Empire in 1892. While subjects of the Russian Empire may not have had Twitter, they did have their own form of character-limited electronic communication, the telegraph. What follows is an investigation into the dynamics of telecommunication and cholera riots in the Russian Empire. The goal of this investigation is to determine what relationship these topics shared and whether that relationship can be identified spatially. In order to fully understand the significance of the telecommunication network present in 1892, it is important to have some background information on the state of the telecommunication networks before that point. This information can allow us to contrast cholera riots that occurred before and after the advancement of telecommunications in this time frame. The northern region of Russia had a relatively well-established and connected communication network via rivers and roads, even by the early 17th century. A message from the south of the Russian Empire could reach Moscow in a week using express horse relays. Messages were not always delivered this quickly, however. For example, reliable news of Stenka Razin's capture of Astrakhan took almost 2 months to reach the Kremlin. The telegraph division of the military wasn't established until 1854, with the primary objective of overseeing the construction of a telegraph line to Sevastopol. This line was finished just in time to deliver news of the Russian surrender in the Crimean War in 1855. In the aftermath of this defeat, telegraph line construction would increase rapidly over the next decade, with lines stretching over most parts of the Russian Empire. Another event of note was the reduction of domestic telegram tariffs in 1866. This act would effectively double the amount of telegraph traffic domestically. This dynamic suggests that telegraph use was significantly restricted by economic standing. The Russian Empire also developed a strong surveillance network of telegraph messages. Black cabinets were secret bureaus within post offices that would intercept the correspondence of foreign political figures. Russia was not the only nation carrying out covert actions, but they were one of the most effective at it. The mistrust of foreign elements extended beyond telecommunications and was seen in how the Russian Empire dealt with epidemics. Some of the first efforts to prevent the spread of an epidemic can be observed during the spread of the plague in Russia. Quarantines were established on borders and ports because of the belief that the plague could only have been brought from abroad. Russia's response to the plague set the stage for the cholera epidemics that followed. Of note was the overall ineffective treatment of the plague and the failure to deal with the economic, demographic, and psychological repercussions. When examining the 1892 cholera riots, it helps to have an understanding of previous cholera outbreaks. Cholera first reached Russian territory in 1823 and was believed to have been brought into Russia by Kyrgyz nomads. Quarantines and checkpoints were instituted in response. These measures were protested by the lower class, who were disproportionately afflicted by cholera. Rumors began to spread across the Russian Empire about who was to blame for their plight. One prevalent rumor was that the upper class had engineered the outbreak for their benefit. Another was that doctors were intentionally poisoning wells. This eventually sparked riots, in which doctors were killed, estates were looted, and quarantines were broken. On June 22, 1831, rioters in St. Petersburg ransacked the primary cholera hospital and killed physicians. The crowd was eventually dispersed by the persuasive argument of Nicholas I and his canons. The belief that doctors and hospitals were intentionally killing their patients was a global phenomenon, suggesting there was no unique dynamic in the Russian Empire that was the sole cause of the riots. It is worth noting that cholera riots in Eastern Europe and Russia were generally greater in scale when compared to the West. Motivations for riots shared common features across the globe, with one of the primary drivers being divisions in social class. This narrative recurred in the cholera riots of 1892. On June 2nd, the official newspaper of the Turkestan region reported cholera would soon spread to Tashkent. In contrast to the context of previous cholera outbreaks, medical knowledge about how to mitigate the effects of these outbreaks had advanced. The report suggests this knowledge was widespread, and it offered a positive outlook as long as medical guidelines were adhered to. These measures included actions like disinfecting, quarantining, and monitoring water sources. As with the development of their telecommunication network, the Russian Empire was motivated to control the outbreak so they would be perceived as a peer of Western Europe. Controlling cholera outbreaks was also important in colonial regions because ineffective responses could make the Russian Empire look weak on the global stage. Cholera strained social structures in all of Russia, especially in colonial territories. A small number of colonizers, like soldiers, becoming infected could potentially upset power dynamics in these regions. In the case of Tashkent, there was some precedent for mistrust of the imperial response to cholera. Ethnic Russians would seek out treatment from Muslim healers to deal with an unnamed local affliction that the healers were perceived as being more effective in treating than physicians. Despite this, The ethnic Russian colonizers in this area looked down on the local Muslim Asian population as being dirty and uncivilized. The colonizers had a distinct lack of trust in the local population and their administrators to effectively deal with the outbreak of disease well before the problem even arose. Poor ethnic Russian immigrants who relocated to Tashkent in the thousands after the famine of 1891 would also be perceived as filthy and spreaders of disease. These factors would combine to create a social structure that was extremely stratified by not only race, but also social class. It is in this context that cholera first emerged in the city on June 7, 1892. The disease actually appeared in the Russian part of the city first, but despite this, efforts were focused on controlling the Asian districts. These measures would be implemented swiftly and without regard for the wants or needs of the local populace they would affect. Russian officials were explicitly told to ignore the wishes of the sick and the families of the deceased in favor of carrying out protocol. Russian officers also may have violated local women while carrying out their orders. Local practices for dealing with corpses during an epidemic already existed. Special sanitary precautions that were in accordance with Muslim tradition had been previously employed, but this system was not incorporated by the Russian administration. Islamic traditions were ignored, and the perception emerged that the sick were being removed to die alone and separated from their families. The desire to hide ill or dead bodies emerged because of the time it took for Russian inspectors to show up and the disregard for local burial customs. Prior to this event, the local population had been more concerned about neglect than direct negative interaction with the Russian administration. In addition to this, cholera arrived during an already tense political situation. Rumors began to spread and increased the frustration experienced by the local populace. This would lead to an organized effort by the local population to have their grievances addressed. But these efforts would eventually end in bloodshed. In Astrakhan, a hospital was destroyed by protesters in June. A rumor had spread that patients were being buried alive, so protesters removed the sick from the hospital and set it on fire. This action would be repeated in several cities and towns across the Russian Empire. On July 10th, the rumor that cholera patients were being hospitalized without cause spread to Saratov. Patients were dragged out of hospitals, and the residences and establishments of doctors, the police, and shopkeepers were ransacked and burned. The carts used to transport cholera patients were destroyed, and hospital staff were killed. Imperial military forces arrived and killed or injured several protesters. Saratov would be under total military lockdown by the next day. By late July, riots reemerged in Tashkent. These were nominally driven by the belief that Russian officials were deliberately infecting the local population. A crowd of Asian Sarts entered the Russian portion of the city and fought with soldiers with many casualties on both sides. On July 22nd, Nizhny Novgorod was declared to be in a state of siege. In Samara, preventative measures were taken to guard the residences of doctors. Taking this measure preemptively would suggest that communication about these events was ongoing between the different towns and cities. Preventative measures were also implemented in Donetsk and its metalworks. A plan was implemented to establish checkpoints, construct a new isolation barracks, and find additional soldiers to enforce cholera protocols. These measures were ultimately ineffective, but they do indicate that knowledge of the ongoing events was being circulated, at least by the upper class. The workers in Donetsk, by comparison, got some of their information about cholera from waves of migrants entering the territory. These migrants brought stories about the destruction cholera caused, as well as rumors about its potential origin. A large-scale riot would also eventually occur in Donetsk, with its motivation ostensibly being driven by issues of class divide. Relating these riots to the map of the telegraphic network I selected, we can see the riots were widespread across the entire Russian Empire. Border regions seem to have been more affected, which would indicate that underlying tensions in these regions were exacerbated by the outbreak of cholera. We can also see a concentration of riots traveling along the path of the Volga River. This could simply be due to the population size of this region, but it also might indicate that as a traditional nexus of information and travel, rumors were more easily spread along this route. The riots were noted around the world. The Saratov riot and the subsequent trial made headlines in the US. Another riot reported by US newspapers was in Srednyaya Akhtuba near Astrakhan. Inhabitants rebelled against anti-cholera measures by looting, killing medical personnel, and targeting postal and telegraph offices. The targeting of doctors and other medical personnel was a common occurrence stemming from supposedly malicious treatment of patients. However, It can be argued that doctors were perceived as a conduit through which upper and lower classes interacted, much in the same way police were. This frames them as an accessible scapegoat for underlying class tensions. In addition to rumors spread about the direct involvement of medical personnel, the lower class blamed other perceived instruments of the upper class, such as their telecommunication systems, as we can see in the case of Srednaya Aktuba. The Russian reports about this riot differed in their portrayal of it being an organized event or a spontaneous one. When we compare the dynamics of this event to the other riots occurring in Russia and around the world, it may suggest that the class struggles underpinning all of them and the targets selected by protesters indeed indicate a more organized structure. The global occurrence of these events might also suggest that telecommunication technology did not directly play a role in influencing the emergence of cholera riots. One might argue that a telegraph sent from two different cities within Russia could influence each other, but it is harder to make this connection internationally. The riot in Donetsk shows that some of the information received by members of the lower social class was received by word of mouth. It conversely also shows that the upper class likely were using telecommunication technology to spread information about cholera and the social unrest that followed to prepare for and deal with this eventuality. The unrest ultimately did not lead to long-term changes in political, social, or economic structure. The two targets that were common globally in cholera riots were actors deemed as foreign or as part of an oppressive upper class. Direct access to the upper class was likely not always practical or achievable due to protective measures that had been implemented. Protesters instead turned their ire towards the instruments of the upper class, one of which we can argue was the telecommunication network present in the Russian Empire. In this way, we can answer the question of what role the telecommunication network played in the cholera riots of 1892 as an extension of what ultimately boiled down to a class struggle. Telecommunication technology did serve to tangibly influence events, but the more important role it served was as an emblem of a class divide that permeated the social structure of the Russian Empire.